You are listening to the always exciting Victory Church podcast, a daily source of inspiration, encouragement, and accelerated spiritual growth. We're here to help you maximize your life in minimal time. So get ready and let's dive into today's message.
All right, y'all, look at your neighbor and tell them, deal with it. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, you need to deal with your stuff. Now tell them I'm here to help you do it. Now don't hang them out there and leave them hanging there to dry. We're here to help you deal with it. Here's the reason why, because you won't conquer what you don't confront. I said, you won't conquer what you don't confront. There are things in all of our lives that we know are holding us back, yet we ignore them, we override them, we overlook them, and yet God wants us to address them head on, and that's what we're here to help you do. And so today, last week we talked about taming your temper, but today we're going to get into one that's a little bit heavy, but I promise by the end of this service you're going to feel a whole lot lighter. And I want to talk to you this morning about overcoming your anxiety. Somebody say anxiety. Now, anxiety is an issue that is overwhelming America. All ages, whether young or old, the heart of America is gripped by anxiety, by stress, by fear and worry. Almost 40% of Americans are dealing with anxiety disorders, and it's increasing every single year. Anxiety is the most common psychiatric disorder. It's something that is very prevalent among our society. And anxiety is a debilitating emotion that is affecting every age from cradle to the grave. Now, the reality today is it is not God's will for you to worry. It is not God's will that you be anxious. Here's why. Because it steals, kills, and destroys God's blessings in our life. It robs us of our joy, of our peace. It takes away our health, our personality. It keeps us from enjoying the blessings and the family and the people and the friends God's given us. It keeps us from being our best. It prevents productivity at work. Anxiety is like arthritis. It slowly but surely makes every move we make in life more and more painful. And the reality is, anxiety is something that affects all of us differently. It can make us controlling. It can make us irritable. Sometimes when we're dealing with anxiety, we get sad, or we feel insecure, or we feel isolated. We become restless and on edge. It makes us feel drained or fatigued. It affects our ability to concentrate, our memory. Many times our mind goes blank. We feel the tension in our body. Anxiety disturbs our sleep. It can make us rigid, cause us to be afraid of the future. Causes us to expect the worst and just get to this place where we're like, what's going to happen next that's bad? And so we have this bunker mentality where we really stop living and we stop thriving and we start surviving. It can lead to, as it did in my life, especially when I was younger, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, where we do things over and over and over, and just no matter how many times you check to make sure the door's locked, you just never know. Right? I mean, just things we're doing constantly that we feel like we have to do until there's a release. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Well, what does anxiety cause? What does anxiety cause? And America is dealing with anxiety and depression at greater levels than we've ever seen. But it's anxiety in our heart that is creating that depression in our life. And so what I watch anxiety doing, not only when it's hit my life, but others around me that I love, is it creates frustration. Somebody say frustration. And the reason why it's so frustrating is because people feel like, man, why can't I control this? Why do I feel this way? What's wrong with me? I ought to be able to stop this, but I can't. And so there's this level of embarrassment and shame that comes with it. And we hide it from others. And that can come out in overcompensation, which can come off as aggressiveness or anger or hopelessness or somebody say condemnation. And we start to beat ourselves up about this. But I want to tell you today, if you deal with anxiety and stress and worry and fear, I want you to know today you are created in the likeness and the image of God. You are loved by God. And if you've been born again, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the devil himself cannot change that. I want you to understand today, you're going to be okay. God loves you. He's for you. And there is no condemnation for you. So stop acting like you're a second-rate citizen and you're second best. No, you are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if you're on Ativan, even if you're on Prozac, even if you got to go to the therapist, you could do whatever you got to do. But let's not leave Jesus out of the equation. Let's take the taboo out of this and make sure people know you can get help and there's an answer, and his name's Jesus. Amen? But you do whatever you got to do to get what you need. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tell them you got to get help. And so that's what we're here to do. Wait. I think I just offended everybody. No, wait. I had you do the work for me. Y'all just, you're like, you need help. I need what? Give me some of that Prozac. Taming your temper. We got into that one last week. But here's the reality. I started thinking about these three words. I started thinking about the word anxiety. I started thinking about the word worry. And I started thinking about the word stress. They're not the same. However, we use them, Greg, interchangeably, but they're not the same. They do work together, and they make a pretty nasty sandwich, but they're not the same. So let me break them down for you. Let's start with anxiety. Somebody say anxiety. Anxiety is a feeling. Stop there. What is anxiety? Where does anxiety hit us? In our feelings, right? Y'all with me. Come on, stay with me. What is anxiety? Where does it hit you? As a feeling. It is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event. I mean, something that's coming at you. Or something with an uncertain. Everybody say uncertain. Something with an uncertain outcome. That's really what triggers anxiety in us, things that we're uncertain about. Then there's the word worry. Everybody say worry. And here's what's fascinating to me, is worry means to give way to anxiety. Isn't that interesting? Worry is giving place to anxiety. Worry is giving room in our life to anxiety. Here's how. By allowing, somebody say letting, by letting your mind, okay, dwell on difficulty or troubles. Isn't that interesting? Anxiety, Jeff, is a feeling, but worry goes on up here in our brain. Isn't that right? So anxiety is a feeling, and then behind it comes worry, and that's when our mind takes over. And then there's stress. Somebody say stress. Now, stress is the pressure or the tension exerted on your body or upon you. And there is a push and a pull to it. So if I'm pushing something and pulling it at the same time, then it creates tension. And that's why you feel like you're being stretched out, like you're going to be torn apart, like you're caught in the center. So let's add together anxiety, worry, and stress, and I'm going to show you what it does in your life. You tell me if I'm wrong. Anxiety is an emotional trigger. Then worry steps in and takes over in our minds, showing us the worst case scenarios on the jumbotron in our brain. Am I alone? Y'all got a jumbotron in your brain? Looks like the one at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I mean, massive. Yeah, Mike, you said bigger. And you can hit, the devil loves to play replays on it, right? And the number one thing we watch on that is our favorite game show, and it's the What If game show hosted by none other than himself, Beelzebub. Right, where he plays the worst case scenarios and you start to paint pictures of what if this happens, what if that happens, and you start to paint your demise by numbers. you start painting a picture without even the devil's help sometimes of how bad things are going to get in your life. And so that emotional trigger causes that jumbotron in your mind to come on, and then worry takes over. And then the third step is stress shows up and it starts wreaking havoc in our body because we feel like we're being pushed and we feel like we're being pulled at the same time. And the reality, y'all, is we were not built to carry that load. 75 to 90% of doctor visits come from something that the medical community calls psychosomatic related illnesses. In other words, something is wrong in your body physically because of what's going on in your mind and in your emotions. In other words, we are sick in our souls, but the gospel is good news. And I come to tell y'all today, Jesus didn't just die for your spirit. He didn't just die for healing in your body, but he died for your soul too. And anybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you give God praise today that you don't got to wait till you get to heaven to have a little victory here on earth? All right? So here's what we need to know as we're breaking down anxiety and looking at this. Anxiety comes when we feel like our security or our stability is threatened. Because every human being needs to feel safe and protected. Anxiety can be triggered by change. Change is hard for a lot of people. But change is a necessary reality in all of our lives. Confrontation can be a trigger. We don't like it when we have to deal with things. But yet, if we don't confront situations, our life is doomed. Confrontation is not a bad thing. It just comes down to how we handle it. Then there's trouble. If you're going through trouble, that can trigger anxiety. For some people, it's crowds and social interaction. One of the things I love about the peace and the presence of God so strong here is we have people come during the week, our vendors, and they say, something's just different about being here. We have people come in almost every Sunday with Asperger's or autism, many of them PTSD or tremendous social anxieties. There's nowhere else they can go and be around a crowd, yet somehow they can come into this room that is full of people and they experience God in a powerful way. Come on, y'all, that's a breakthrough for people. And it's because God's word works. But the reality is we have social interaction. Sometimes if y'all know what I'm talking about, you know you need to make a phone call, but you sit there and you hesitate and delay and you put it off and you don't make that phone call because you have this anxiety on the inside of you. When I was growing up, I grew up in church. My parents would take me. We had Sunday school then. And I kid you not, I remember, and I can talk about anxiety because I've dealt with it all my life at various levels. But I remember I would stand outside the door of the Sunday school class. My mom was habitually late. So I would be the kid that walked in last in front of everybody. And I would stand there sometimes for 5 or 10 minutes with my hand on the door, so full of anxiety because I didn't want to walk in and everybody stare at me. It doesn't God have a sense of humor? Now look, y'all are staring at me. He put me in front of you guys. Come on. Can you give God praise for victory in my life? But you know what I'm talking about. We have these things that we go through and these triggers, sometimes demands. You know, you've got, Cherie, these demands and time marches on and you feel this finger in your back driving you towards a deadline. No, it's not Steve's finger. but it's pushing us ahead and that can trigger anxiety on the inside of our hearts that rises up. Or things we can't control, the fear of the future, unknown outcomes. And so it's important for us to understand what the triggers are. Anxiety comes from uncertainty. Somebody say uncertainty. In other words, the unknown. And for all of us, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you've planned your life out. Your future is the unknown. So for us, the key to conquering anxiety is focusing in on what is certain and unchanging. Because the things we do know, church, are greater than the things we don't know. And so today, we're going to put truth in that is greater than the anxiety trying to come on you. And in the name of Jesus, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can you give God praise on credit for what we're about to see happen in this room? Amen. So come on, Holy Spirit, help us. Here we go. Truth number one, we subtract worry when we add prayer. We subtract worry by adding prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, every time I feel anxiety, I go to this scripture. It says, don't worry about anything. Well, that just seems irresponsible, doesn't it? After all, good parents worry. People who are good with their finances, they worry. If you're a good employee, you worry. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We subtract worry when we add prayer. Tell God what you need. What do you need? I hear people say, well, I don't want to bother God with that. God's not bothered, no matter how big or how small. Go to God and tell him. Thank him for everything he's done. And so here's what we want to do today. We want to flip the script on the devil, and we want to use anxiety as a trigger to pray. So what we're going to do, Chelsea, is use anxiety as a reminder that we need to go to God and pray. You see that? Instead of it triggering fear in me, it ought to trigger faith in me. That I say, you know what, God, you're right. I can't handle this alone, but I thank you that I'm not alone. I thank you that I don't have to do this by myself. And so I bring it to you and I give it to you because I know you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could even ask or think. And what happens is when we do that, then the very next scripture in verse 7, it says, then. Everybody say then. When? When? Then, after you pray, then you will experience. Everybody say experience. Now, I love coming to church, but you know what? This is not just a book club. We study a book, Bree, but it's not just about information. It's about experience. The Bible is very clear that God wants you to put your faith in experiencing his power. And here's what it says. You will experience God's peace. Somebody say peace. Which exceeds anything we can understand. The New King James says, his peace passes all understanding. In other words, it's mind-blowing. And the Bible says that that kind of peace will guard your what? Your heart and your... Well, isn't that where anxiety attacks us, our heart and our mind? The Bible says when you pray, his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Jesus was really clear about it. He said, I don't want you worrying about your life. Here's why. Because nobody ever gets up from worrying and says, man, I feel so much lighter. I feel so much stronger. I feel so much better. But you know what? When I get up from prayer, I feel lighter. I feel stronger. I feel faster. I feel better. I feel more anointed. I feel more appointed. I feel God's presence. I feel a rising sense of purpose and destiny and a clearer vision than ever before. Come on, somebody. Can you give God praise that you can swap worry for prayer? Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, I'm 6'5", but I didn't get here by worrying. I tried. I got here by cleaning my plate. But the reality is Jesus was saying worry is pointless to produce change. Worry's never paid a bill. Nobody here has ever paid their mortgage on a worry. You never made your car payment on a worry. You never filled your car up on worry. Worry has never healed a sick child. Hello? Worry never kept the job you thought you were going to lose. Worry has never once taken care of or fixed any problem in your life. It has, however, created problems. Worry can't restore marriages. Worry doesn't heal diseases. Worry's not going to stroke you to sleep. Worry has not, cannot, does not, and will not ever work for you. But prayer converts something powerless into powerful. That maybe I can't do anything about the situation, but I can take it to somebody who can. So number one, we subtract worry when we add prayer. Number two truth today to overcoming your anxiety, stop collecting your worries and start casting them. In other words, start throwing them. You got to get it off of you and onto somebody else. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us exactly who and how. It says, casting, throwing the whole. How much? The whole. Okay, how do you throw a whole? Some of y'all get that on the way home. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all. Once and what? For all. Once and for all on him, on Jesus. Here's why. For he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. That's good news today. My job is when I have a worry, when something's making me anxious, when I'm stressed, I'm to give it to God and then don't pick it back up again. My job is to give it to God. His job is to carry it for me. I am redistributing the weight in my life because life is heavy. If you believe that today, just wave at me this morning. All right? Now, if I was to bring Zoe up on the platform today and I asked her to pick that speaker up, she'd struggle. I don't even know if she could get it off the ground today. But I could pick that speaker up and I could run around the room. What's the difference? The difference is I'm stronger than she is. Well, let me ask you a question today. How many of you believe Jesus is stronger than you are? Just wave at me, okay? Then why are you carrying things that he can carry better than you can? You got to give them to him. You got to throw them off of you. That's how fast God wants you to deal with it. He wants you to throw it off of you because Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down. Worry is dragging you down. That's why you're down. That's why you're discouraged. That's why we get depressed, because anxiety is creating depression, because there is a weight to my worry. And when I add weight and I add worry, I get the word weary, and worry is wearing us out. It's why we feel like zombies. It's why we feel like we have a 1,000 stones sitting on our chest and it's crushing it. You can see it on our face. You can feel it bending your back over. But the Bible says, give it to God. He doesn't want you to live your life like the walking dead. You see everything going on around you, but you can't focus on nothing else. You can't even participate in your own life. That's what anxiety does. You're watching it go on, but the parade's going by and you're on the sidelines going, hey, popcorn. And you don't want to be. You want to be a part of your own life. And that's why we got to get it off of us and we got to get it onto Jesus. Can you give God praise that he's able to carry it better than you are? Okay? You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We're getting freed. Truth number three this morning about anxiety. And hear me close. These are not steps. These are truths. And maybe all you need is one of them to get free today, okay? Number three truth today about overcoming anxiety. I love this one. You are not alone. Anxiety always tries to isolate us. It makes us feel like nobody else understands what I'm going through. Nobody's ever felt what I'm feeling right now. Nobody even sees me. Nobody even cares. And I don't want to open up to anybody and tell them what I'm going through or how crazy my brain is or how crazy my emotions are right now. Because if I told them, then they probably wouldn't even like me anymore. They'd probably leave me. They'd probably think I'm a freak. And what you got to know today is there's three people on the same row as you going through the same thing today. But the devil loves to isolate us, because if he can keep you alone, he can chew on you and gnaw on you. But it's time for you to be real and get healed and open your mouth and share it with somebody else and open your heart and let the light of God come in and drive that darkness out. Amen? Come on, y'all. I know what I'm talking about today. The motto of my life is never down. I'm up or getting up, but I am never down. Let me tell you, I've been down though, and I know how to get back up. And the way you get that darkness gone is you throw the doors of your heart open and you let the light of God's love shine in. Not only from him from heaven directly, but from his people around you. Let somebody help you. And that's why you got to know today, you're not alone. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that I go away. He said in John chapter 16, verse 7, I'm telling y'all the truth. Y'all didn't know Jesus said y'all, did you? I'm telling you the truth. When I say it's profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the comforter, somebody say comforter. Now, who's he talking? He's not talking about that big blanket on your bed, right? That y'all left piled up today. How many of y'all made your bed this morning? Oh, good. I'm proud of you. All six of you. What's wrong with the rest of you? Preaching on procrastination next week. Tidiness. Anyway, comforter. Who's Jesus talking about? The Holy Spirit. Come on, who's Jesus talking about? I need everybody in the church to know this one. Who's Jesus calling the comforter? The Holy Spirit. He's a counselor. Well, when people are struggling with anxiety or depression or stress or worry, who do they go see? A counselor. You got a counselor living on the inside of you right now. It's the Holy Spirit, an advocate. That means he's our helper, an intercessor, somebody who's praying for you when you can't pray for yourself, a strengthener, somebody to pick me up when I'm down, and a standby, somebody who's beside me, never leave me nor forsake me. And Jesus said, will not come to you into close fellowship with you, but if I go away, if Jesus goes away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And so Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to help us and to comfort us along our journey through life. Now, here's what you got to get a hold of today. The Holy Spirit is there when you're on top of life, and he's still there when life's on top of you. His presence is not a feeling. He's there when you feel him, like during praise and worship today, and he's there when you don't. He's there for you 24/7, 365. He doesn't move in and move out. He doesn't come and go. He doesn't pack his bags and leave for the weekend. Your body is his temple, not a rental. So stop trying to do life all by yourself. The Holy Spirit is here to help. It's time, church, to just invite him to be a part and include him and say, Holy Spirit, I'm hurting and I need you to come help me. I need you to be my counselor. I need you to comfort me. I need you to soothe me. I need you to stroke me. I need you to touch me right now. I need to know everything's going to be okay. Come on, he's not just there. He's here. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Number four truth today you got to know when you're overcoming anxiety is you are going to make it. I said you're going to make it. Come on, somebody smile back at me. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're going to make it. I love this. And here's a passage in the Bible that tells us that. It's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he's talking about a time in his life when he was struggling big time. And here's what he says. I love the beginning of this line. You know it's trouble when it starts like this. It was so bad, y'all. It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. You guys ever felt like that? It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row. That's pretty stiff. That it was all over for us. And as it was, as it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Why is it we only trust God when we have to? You ever think about that? Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. He's saying, think about the resurrection. And he did it. He rescued us from a certain doom, and he'll do it again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescued. I want to tell you today, anybody that told you living for Jesus was easy lied to you. It ain't all going to be cupcakes, rainbows, and sprinkles, even though those are all Zoe's favorite things. Her birthday's tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be some rough seas in life, but smooth seas never made great captains. And God has called you to be great leaders. And that means we've got to go through some stuff, because when you come out on the other side, and you will, you're going to be able to lead others through it with a courage and a confidence that you never could have had otherwise. Victory is not the absence of troubles. It's success through your struggles. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome your stress. I have overcome your struggle. I have overcome your anxiety. I have overcome your fear. I am in your future, and I'm making the rough place smooth and the crooked place straight for you." Amen. Thank God that we're going to make it. The fifth one, this one's my favorite today. What you're going to is greater than what you're going through. See, when anxiety comes in, that's all we can focus on. It's so overwhelming, it blacks out everything else. It's hard to see anything else around us. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, I love this story. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he," or Jesus, "said to them," to his followers, "let us cross over to the other side." And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. Verse 38, "but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow." Jesus is asleep in the boat during the storm. "And they woke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still. Peace, be still.'" He spoke to the storm. And the wind, what? Ceased. It stopped. And there was a great, what? There was a calm. That is the opposite of what's going on in us when anxiety attacks. "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" One translation says, "Are you ever going to trust me?" And the reality is, anxiety sweeps over us like that storm did over them. And when that happens, everything else disappears. It was sunny skies, and all of a sudden it was black in an instant. It went from peaceful to perilous in a moment. And when that happens to us and our emotions, and that anxiety sweeps over us, we feel like we're taking on water. We feel like we're sinking. We wonder if God even cares. We feel like we're going to die. But there are four things you need to know to survive your storm, and I want to give them to you today as the worship team joins me. Number one, you got to know this, that Jesus is in your boat. I said, Jesus is in your boat. That little red GMC stepside sitting on the corner out there is my granddad's. My granddad is like my dad. He's the only dad I've ever known. And I've got a piece of paper I carry in my wallet that he wrote, and it said, "Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay." And sometimes when life is tough, I get it out and I read it. Everything's going to be okay. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, everything's going to be okay. Jesus is in your boat. Number two, Jesus slept through the storm. And here's the point there. If he didn't see the storm as a threat, why do you? See, he's not nervous about what you're nervous about. Your issue hasn't knocked him off the throne. That's why he said, "Are you ever going to trust me?" He slept through the storm because he trusted the Father. Number three today, the storm didn't wake Jesus up, but the cries of those he loved did. When you're crying in your storm, and some of you are there today, I want you to know that Jesus hears you. Number four, Jesus slept because of what he had declared. He said, "We are going to the other side." And I come to tell somebody at Victory Church, it's time for you to declare to your storm, "I am going to the other side in the name of Jesus. Fear is not going to stop me. Anxiety is not going to stop me. Depression is not going to stop me in the name of Jesus. I am going through this thing. I'm going to the other side, because what I'm going to is greater than what I'm going through. God's purpose is bigger than my pain. God's purpose is bigger than my problems. I am going to make it in the name of Jesus. He's in my boat and I'm going through the storm in the name of Jesus Christ. Devil, I rebuke you and I command you to go. Speak stillness into your storm. Number six and last today, you're not under stress, you're over it. We feel like we're living under stress. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that God, when you got born again, when you got saved, when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you said with your mouth, Jesus, you're Lord of my life, when you turned from that old life and you turned to God, the Bible says in that moment, God made you a saint. It's not something you earn. And he elevated your life and he seated you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, that's great, Josh, but where is Jesus? Well, let's think about it. He's seated at the Father's right hand on the throne in victory. That means you're seated at the Father's right hand on the throne in victory. In the spirit realm, which is where we're going to end up, that's where God already sees you. In the mind of God, it's an already done fact. It's time for you to stop living under the devil and start reminding him that he's under you. It's time for you to stop living under your problems and under your situation and remind them that they're under you. It's time for you to remind the devil of Deuteronomy 28, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. I am above only and not beneath. I'm above on Monday. I'm above on Tuesday. I'm above on Wednesday. I'm above on Thursday. I'm above on Friday. I'm above on Saturday and I'm still above on Sunday. Come on, somebody. And then on Monday, we're going to do it all over again. I'm above only and not beneath in the name of Jesus. Now, I love the ocean. I love it, Tom Smythe. I love it. I love to body surf. I love to boogie board. Anything to do with water, this fat boy sets the water on fire. I love it. And I'm telling you, the bigger the waves are, the more fun I have, but the more dangerous they get. And here's what happens. If you've ever been on a big wave, if you let it take you under, it feels like you're in a washing machine. It snatches you every which way. You're all over the place, crazy. And if there's coral reefs, it'll drag you down and pound you on the bottom. And it'll hold you down. It'll drag you out. And it will drown you if you let it. But then, if you stay on top of the wave, it's the most amazing ride you've ever had in your entire life. I mean, you're getting fish in your teeth because you're smiling so big. You love it. It feels good, and that same wave that could have killed you if you were under it, when you're on top of it, it'll push you to the shore to safety. Can I tell you right now, the waves in life are a guarantee, but how you handle it is different. You can come out on top of anxiety, or you can let anxiety come out on top of you. And we've got to make up our mind how we're going to come out. We choose how we're going to come out. Jesus said in John 14, 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you." Somebody say, "His peace is my promise. It is my inheritance. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I will enjoy it and embrace it in Jesus' name." Come on, would you give God thanks for his peace in your heart today? He says, "Not as the world gives do I give it to you." I'm not giving it to you like the world. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Don't let your heart be troubled. When your heart's troubled, it's because you let it. Neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself. Stop giving yourself an allowance to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit. Stop giving yourself permission to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. And that tells us this: you gotta fight back. You gotta fight back. You can't surrender. When anxiety hits you, I watch so many people succumb to it and they feel like they can't do anything and they're a victim. But God called you to be a victor. You're an overcomer. You're not the one overcome. Don't give in. Don't give up to anxiety. Don't give in another inch. Don't let it take control. Don't let it bully you and tell you how to feel. Let your emotions in the car, but not behind the steering wheel. You say, "In the name of Jesus, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to bless him when I'm angry. I'm going to bless him when I'm frustrated. I'm going to bless him when I'm mad." Tell the devil to shut the hell up and get the hell out. But you got to keep living your life. Because here's what happens. Anxiety hits and we stop living. What would you do if you didn't have anxiety? What would you be doing today, and how would you be doing it? Who would you be doing it with? Do that anyway. Keep living. You got to force yourself to keep connecting with others, because anxiety will make you a recluse. It'll make you withdraw. It'll rob you of your personality. And when you feel anxiety, you need to get in a crowd even more in those moments. You need to hold your head high. You need to look people square in the eye. You need to force yourself into conversation with them. And you need to show them the beautiful treasure God put on the inside of you, that you are valuable and you are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Then you got to understand the only way to change the conversation in your mind is to change the station you're watching. When I flip the channel, I get a new conversation. The Bible says in Philippians, the same verse and passage we use today, it says, fix your thoughts. Somebody say, fix your thoughts. You know why it says fix them? Because they're broken. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I refuse to let my mind focus on the jumbotron of problems. Come on, somebody. God's given me too many blessings. There are too many good trees in the garden to focus on the one thing that's wrong. I refuse to be that person. And sometimes when you've done all that, you just got to ignore the anxiety. Because the more we hand it the mic, and the more we give it airtime, the bigger it gets. Sometimes you just got to ignore it like it's not even there and keep going on. I mean, don't let anxiety become your identity. I meet some people and they're like, hi, my name's Josh and I'm anxious. Great, good to meet you. No, anxiety is not a part of my identity. It's not who I am. Come on, somebody. I'm like, hey, I'd love to introduce you to my kids. This is Alexandria, and this is Aiden, and this is Anxiety. He's a good little boy. He's homeschooled. He never leaves mommy's side. He's mommy's little helper. No. It's not a part of who you are. Anxiety's not part of your family. I don't care how it used to be. You got a new family tree when you got to the cross of Calvary. You got a new bloodline. I don't care if daddy was anxious. I don't care if granddaddy was anxious. I don't care if Uncle Leon was anxious. I come to tell you, Jesus isn't anxious, and my Father in heaven isn't anxious, and I'm not going to be anxious in the name of Jesus. Start controlling your mind. Start controlling your emotions by controlling your breathing. Come on, everybody stand with me. One of the best things you can do when you're anxious is pray in tongues. You get nervous. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did say pray in tongues. Yes, that's in your Bible. We believe in praying in tongues. I'll tell you why. Because it works and the devil hates it. And that's why he's tried to convince you that's not for today. That's not of God. That's for somebody else. That's for freak shows. No, it's normal to everybody in the Bible. And it ought to be normal in the house of God. It works. If you got a dead cell phone, you plug it in. That's what speaking in tongues does. It charges your spiritual battery. And let me swear at you, you need to exercise. That's funny, isn't it? I'm not kidding. You anxious? Start exercising. You'll be too tired to be anxious. Be like, oh God, I'm going to die. Fat Josh is chasing me. Work out. We've laughed some today, but some of you are sitting here today on the verge of tears because you're tired of being confined in this cage that you live in and nobody else knows it. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Josh, I'm ready to overcome anxiety. I don't care who's sitting next to you right now. I want you to raise your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm not calling you down front. I just want to know who I'm praying with. Just raise up your hand real high all across this room. So many people. I want everybody to do this with me today. I want you to lay your hands over your heart. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come to you right now. And I pray for every person in this room, especially my friends today that are struggling with anxiety. And I bind that spirit, and I bind that fear, and I bind that stress and that worry in their minds. I declare that they have a sound mind. I declare that they have the mind of Christ. I declare that the goodness of God is rising from within them. I declare that the Holy Spirit is reminding them of their blessings, God, much greater than anything else. I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for reminding them that those who are for them are more than those who are against them. In the name of Jesus, I bind and I rebuke rebuke every attack of Satan. I cast it down. I cast it out. In the name of Jesus, by the truth heard today, I command strongholds to be gone. In the name of Jesus, I break chains by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the authority of Jesus Christ, today I command chains to break. I thank you, God, from this day forward, we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, it will not affect our identity. It will not affect our personality. It will not affect our destiny. In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over every heart. I declare, Jesus, that you are Lord over every mind, over every heart, over every body, over our emotions, over our future, God. I declare today that we are going over and not under. I declare that we are too anointed to be disappointed. I declare that we are loved today, that we are called today, that we are sealed today, that we are baptized today. Father, we refuse to let stress steal your best. In the name of Jesus, I command the devil to leave and never return. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that it's done. I thank you that from this day forward, we are free. In the name of Jesus, come on, somebody, give God a victorious praise. Hey!
Fear bound.
Come on!
Here,
right now!
Jesus, you change everything.
Come on and sing that.
If you're ever in northeastern Pennsylvania, we'd love to meet you in person. Come experience Victory Live. Victory Church is located at 645 East Main Street in Troy, Pennsylvania. You can choose a service time that's best for your needs. Sunday services are at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Or join us for our midweek service and all children and student ministries every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more info, check us out on the web at voiceofvictory.com or get the Victory Now app for your mobile device. It's free and it's available today in your app store. If you were blessed by today's message, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 302, Troy, PA 16947. Until next time, remember, there's victory in Jesus.